sakes, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. You know what that means? That means whenever God gives a gift, whenever He calls one of His little children, there's no turning it back. It's without repentance. It's without turning. It's without changing. His gifts and His repentance are forever. He's not an Indian giver. But I want to notice that. Concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sakes. The Jewish nation as a whole did not believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected the gospel. Remember the Apostle Paul. The reason he went to the Gentiles was because the Jewish people as a whole, as a nation, rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes and says, they're enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. He says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Paul says, in times past, you received mercy because they didn't believe. He said, you were unbelievers at one time, but because of their unbelief, now you have received mercy. I've had people say, well, you mean to tell me those Jews over there that don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior are going to heaven? I'm not saying that all of them are going, but I'll tell you this. If they're an heir of promise, if they're an heir of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not by blood and lineage, if you'll read the ninth chapter of that, you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Israel which is of Israel. That higher Israel above the nation itself. I'm talking about that great heavenly Jerusalem, my friends. If they're an heir of that, you can rest assured they may not believe the gospel and they'll be an enemy for your sake. But that won't stop them from going into eternal glory someday. Because Jesus Christ and because God remembers His promises. And guess what? He gave those promises freely. Freely. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Because you didn't have to do one thing to earn it. If you did something in order to get it, guess what? It wasn't free. You know, if I work over here for Brother Phil, I'll come out there, or maybe Luke, and tell them, say, Luke, I'll work for you for free all day long. Well, if Luke turns around and pays me $10 after I'm through, then it wasn't free. Wasn't free. I'll come over there and work for you all day long, Luke, if you give me $10. Luke probably saying, come on. Back in the days when I worked in tobacco, the going rate was $2 an hour. And what we'd give to see those days again, wouldn't we? That's right. Yes, sir. That was tough work. $2 an hour. Of course, back when I worked in the back, $2 would buy something. Now you can't hardly get a Coke for that. But anyway, the Apostle Paul writes in the 11th chapter, in the 6th verse, he says, And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And if it be of works, If it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. All he's saying there is it can't be both. It's one or the other. If it's by grace, then there cannot be any works in it. Or it's no more grace. If it's free, and then you've got to do something to earn it, then it's no longer free. And that's why I say Satan hates the word freely. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The message of the gospel is that it's free. That it's free. Barring any works on your part. Now, does that mean you don't have any responsibility here in this life? It sure does not mean that. But that doesn't, as far as what you do in this life, does not get you into heaven. But I'll tell you what it can do. What you do in this life can make your life a living hell. What you do in this life can make your life here a wonderful place to live. And yes, and that doesn't mean everything's going to always be good for you. I don't want to give you that impression. There's many, just cut on your TV and watch some TV evangelism. They'll have you to believe that if you'll do this and do that, you can live in pie in the sky by and by. But go read God's Word and you'll read about a man by the name of Job. Job lost his family. He lost his material wealth. He lost his cattle and livestock. He lost everything that he had, including his health. And the whole time, Job was a righteous man. Bad things happen to good people. That's not what you hear on TV, though. Oh, you just sow your seed of faith here. You just sow your seed of faith, or you just give here, or you just do this, and your life is going to be all right. You can't prove that by God's Word. But I'll tell you what. You live a life here that's pleasing unto God, and you're always going to have what it takes to get you through. I can promise you that. He will not forsake His children. And the wonderful thing about it, friends, is your eternal destiny was free to you. It cost the God of heaven His only begotten Son. It was not free to Him. And He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He had washed me white as snow. He has paid it all. I told you that we have a tendency to become unthankful. Yes, we are like the leper. A lot of times denying that turn and walk their other way. How about you've heard the old story of the prodigal son, and I'll close with this. The sad thing about it, a lot of the blessings that you would have in this life, blessings that you'll have in the church kingdom, a lot of things that we have in this life, we don't realize how much of a blessing it is until it's gone. I'm not talking about your eternal salvation. That you'll never lose. But I'll tell you what, you can lose the joy of it here. You can live your life in such a way that you can lose the joy of it here. You might be wondering how I know that. Go to the 51st Psalm. You find when King David sinned with Bathsheba, and how that he sent her husband to the front line in the hottest part of the battle and had his army to draw back from him so that he was left out there alone. Essentially, he was murdered. Listen to what David says here in the 51st Psalm. He says this. Let me find you first. He says this. He says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You can live your life here in a way that you can lose the joy of your salvation. You won't lose the salvation, but you can lose the joy of it. And that would be a sad thing. That prodigal son, whenever he left there at his father's house, in the 15th chapter of Luke, he says this. The younger, remember he had two sons, and the younger said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. You know what the problem with that rascal was? He was unthankful. He was unthankful. And usually whenever you find people that are unthankful, you're going to find something running along right with it, and it's pride. What was his pride? My dad don't know how to spend that money. I can spend it better than him. I've got more sense than he does. My dad doesn't know anything. I got tickled to hear Father's Day. I read a card about him. You know, you read Father's Day cards. And there was a quote in there by Mark Twain. He says, when I was 14 years old, he said, I could not stand that old man. Talking about his dad. He said, I thought he was the dumbest man I'd ever met. He says, but when I turned 21, I was utterly amazed at how much that man had learned in 7 years. And that's how this man was. Father, give me that portion that befalleth unto me. And his father divided it up, and he left there. And you know how he fell in among the people of this world, the harlots, and all the big timers. And you can have plenty of friends. A lot of these young guys and gals here, you can have plenty of friends as long as you've got money. But friends, whenever that runs out, this guy, whenever all that money ran out, he's down here in a hog pen feeding swine. Now, I don't know about you, that wouldn't be pleasant for me, and I'm a Gentile. But this guy here was a Jew. And it was an abomination for a Jew to eat swine, much less to get down there with them in the mud and the mire. But remember, finally he came to his senses. And this is what he says. He says, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You reckon that boy had an appreciation then whenever he got back of the things that his father had given him? He says, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. That father was watching for him. That father was looking. It said, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Notice the father interrupted him here. He didn't get the part out as, make me as one of thy hired servants. The father said unto him, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and kill the fatted calf. And he put a ring of sonship upon his son, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. This boy didn't have a robe on his back. He had no jewelry. He had no shoes. He had lost it all. How sweet do you think it was then to come into the father's house? All my friends. See, he lived there before then, free. Oh, he probably had chores to do, I'm sure. He's like most of us growing up. But the father didn't charge him anything for the blessings of his house. And only whenever he left and finally got down there eating the husk of hogs did he realize what he had with his father. My friends, let us not become like that. I say, you're in the father's house, and you've been blessed to eat of everything that the father's servants have brought before you. You've been blessed to eat and to go in and out of the Father's house at your own will. Let us not take it for granted. Let us not be like this young man here. Of course, that's the story of two prodigals, if you'll read that. Because you'll find that the older brother got mad at the younger one because the father killed the fatted calf for him. See, the older brother then was in just as bad a shape as the younger one. He wouldn't go in. The joy and the pleasure in the Father's house. My friends, we are the most blessed that this world has to offer. And the reason we're blessed is because He's freely given us all things. Let us live our lives in such a way that we show that we appreciate it. Not in order to get it. We've already got it. But live our lives in a way that we're thankful for. May God bless you and keep you by prayer. I'd like to take this opportunity, thank you for your good attention, take this opportunity to open the Hold the door open for the reception of members. There may be one or more here that like a home for this church. And you have the right to let your desires be known while we're here. We want to stand and sing a song and extend the right hand of fellowship. And by this, let those who come to be with us, those who are glad to see them, want them to come back, want them to feel at home. This ought to be a place that feels like home. So we're, again, thankful for your presence and your good attention. What shall we sing?
Page 73.
Okay. I'll tell you what, while we're singing Amazing Grace, that's one that kind of everybody knows, and if you get them walking around, you and I will be the only two singing with you. I sure don't want to say it.
Well, page 60.
Page 60. Okay, page 69, Amazing Grace. Go ahead, sir.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to give and grace my dearest relief. How precious here that grace appeared. The
Sister Smith is not feeling too good. She's been under the weather now, I guess, for a while. Jack was telling me that she's just not got enough strength to get out. She got up and was almost ready to go. And this hot weather on her, she's got a breathing affliction. And I'm telling you, I've seen what that does. And that's a hard go of it. I mean, whenever your energy is not consumed and working, but just to simply get air. There again, that's one of those things that is free that we do take for granted. And certainly, if you can have a mind to pray for her, maybe drop her a card or a telephone call, I know that would tickle her to death. I know she loves you, and I know she loves the church here at Monticello. And so we certainly want to remember her in our prayers. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? If not, then we'll ask the Lord to dismiss us. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow to thank you again for the blessings of this day. We thank you, Lord, for thy mercy and goodness. We thank you for the multitude of blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. Father, help us to be thankful of not only our eternal salvation, but help us to be thankful for the blessings of life, for every day that thou hast given us. Go with us and keep us. Bless all that is our duty to pray for. And Father, we would ask that thou would strengthen us that we might live our lives in a way that would be pleasing unto thee. Help us, Lord, to love one another. Help us most of all to love thee more than we have in the past. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Oh, I didn't give the name of it. It's a feminine. Rudy, I can look it up on the call, though. No, I got the confidence. It's after the call. Will you come on? I'll tell you what, I'll look at it later.
Thank you.
I'm out there, and I can turn to it just that quick. I promise. As a matter of fact, I know the number. It's 1492.